If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of Hajj, in fact, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, as always, our guest speaker in the studio. Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about, the rules of Hajj according to the fatwas of Ayatollah Khomeini, and lastly, I mean, in the previous episode, I asked you a question regarding the first or primary part of Hajj, Umre Tamattu, and now I think it's time for me to ask you about the deeds of Hajj Tamattu. Would you?
That's a good question, because of course Umre Tamattu or Umre Tamattu is a part of Hajj Tamattu. We discussed the rules regarding Hajj Umre Tamattu, and now we should discuss or elaborate on Hajj Tamattu. Hajj Tamattu is the obligatory, the second part of the main of Hajjatul Islam, mm-hmm. or the obligatory Hajj. And of course, there are different acts and different deeds which must be performed properly. Mm-hmm. The first thing is to wear
but a... Both of these parts, I mean, Umre Tamattu and Hajj Tamattu, both of them are obligatory.
Obligatory. They are, yeah, they are. They should be done in the same year, in the same month, you know.
Sure.
When it comes to the deeds or the rites or the rituals of Hajj Tamattu, mm-hmm. the obligatory Hajj, the first thing that every pilgrim should do is to wear ihram. Now, in this case, wearing ihram does not begin from a miqat. Wearing ihram, you wear the ihram in the holy city of Mecca, where you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, you wear the ihram, the garment, the special garment or the dress of Hajj, wherever you are, whether you are in the city, where in the restaurant or out of this in the restaurant, somewhere in the open space, you should wear ihram. Mm-hmm. And then after ihram, you will move. You will leave the city on the 9th of Zilhajjah. Of course, you will leave the holy city of Mecca and go to Arafat, going to Arafat is a must, because you will have to observe wukuf there. Wukuf means staying, mm-hmm. staying in Arafat. And of course, staying in Arafat from the noon of the 9th of Zulhajjah mm-hmm. to the sunset.
Right.
From the noon to the sunset. Mm-hmm. It is necessary to stay there. And of course, if you stay for a short time, a short while, it is enough. It's not necessary to stay from the noon until sunset. Okay, if you are there for 1 hour, it is considered to be wukuf, staying there.
Yes.
Okay, that's enough. And then after wukuf at Arafat, you are going to stay in Mash'ar al-Haram. Okay, Mash'ar al-Haram, wukuf in Mash'ar al-Haram on the night before the 10th of Zilhajjah is obligatory, because Arafat people from Arafat, they will move on to Mina. Okay,
yes.
And on their way to Mina, they will have to stay on the night before the 10th, because on the 9th day they are in Arafat, mm-hmm. and then when they move to Arafat, they will have to stay in Zulhulaifa or in Mash'ar al-Haram. Okay, Mash'ar al-Haram, they will have to stay overnight there, and that's enough. If they stay there for a short while, it's enough. Okay, so, and then on the 10th day, the number 4,
yes.
stoning at Jamarat. Stoning one of the Jamarat, one of the pillars, which is called Aqaba, Jamara al-Aqaba. On the day of Eid al-Adha is necessary, okay? It is the 10th day of Dhul Hajjah, which
right.
is the Eid day, of course.
Yes.
Stoning, of course, with 7 pebbles, with small pebbles, not
yes.
big ones, not very tiny ones. It should be small, and it should be new. The stone should be new. It should be collected on the night before, because when you should not use the stones which have already been used by other pilgrims, okay? And you should make sure that the stones that you use...
And normally they gather these pebbles or stones from the desert.
Of course.
Like they carry it all the
yeah.
way to...
It's really good to
yes.
collect it from anywhere possible.
Yes.
But you cannot pick up pebbles, small pebbles, from
yeah.
the same place where you
oh,
are
yeah.
going to stone, because they are used stones. You cannot
mm-hmm.
use them.
Yes. Okay.
So number 5 is slaughtering animal.
Mm-hmm.
You have to slaughter the animals.
Okay.
As slaughtering animals is obligatory.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me stop you there for a short break, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of Hajj, especially Hajj Tamattu, or the deeds of Hajj Tamattu. So altogether, you've enumerated a couple of these acts or deeds that need to be done, Sheikh Javid. So yes. Would you please continue?
Yeah, slaughtering animal. I was talking about slaughtering animal. Every pilgrim must, slaughter an animal. And of course, since there are millions of pilgrims, all these millions of people will not, will not be able to go to the slaughterhouses.
Yeah.
And get together and kill animals.
Yeah, that would be very much unpleasant and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yes.
So it's appropriate that they authorize someone who is trustworthy, of course, to buy the sheep on their behalf and to slaughter it in the slaughterhouses. There are special places devoted or devoted to slaughtering.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Saudi government does not allow people to slaughter the animals out of that premise, out of that area.
I see.
So slaughtering is a must. This is number five. And then shaving head or doing taqsir, those people who are doing hajj, so performing hajj for a second time, third time, fourth time,
yes,
they can do taqsir. And it's for the people who are doing hajj for the first time, it's necessary that they shave their head. Shaving head is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And then after shaving head, of course, the pilgrims will move to Mecca to perform tawaf. They will perform tawaf around the holy Kaaba. Tawaf
is a must.
Yes. And this is the second tawaf done, because the first tawaf was done for tawaf umrah.
Yes.
And this is the second tawaf which needs to be done, which must be done. It's the main tawaf that should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then after performing tawaf, obviously the pilgrim should perform tawaf, the prayer of tawaf or namaz tawaf or what's called salat tawaf.
Yes.
And of course, it consists of two rakah, which can be performed within the maqam of Ibrahim or the station of Ibrahim and the wall of the Kaaba. And of course, if it's very much crowded, it's difficult for a pilgrim to perform the tawaf there.
Yes.
He can move out of that area and perform it wherever possible, of course.
Mm-hmm.
After performing the tawaf, then it is necessary to perform the sa'i. It's always the same.
Yes.
Sa'i means to walk between the mountains of Safa and Marwa. And of course, it's not an ordinary simple walking. It is just a kind of jogging, walking briskly. And it's just a reenactment of what, for example, Hajar did in search of water, because she was going back and forth between Safa and Marwa mountain, and she was walking very quickly. The same is done by pilgrims. They should walk between Safa and Marwa quickly, and they should recite, it's recommended to recite any zikr. But what is wajib is to walk to run briskly between these two mountains, small mountains. Of course, in this time around, there is no mountain, because the mountains have been erased by bulldozers,
yes,
and there are buildings made there, and you cannot see any mountains there. But the place is there. And then, of course, we have the tenth obligatory act, which is Tawaf al-Nisa. And of course, many Shia Muslims, of course, living in non-Muslim countries, living in a Sunni predominantly populated country, they have no idea about Tawaf al-Nisa. They perform their Hajj rituals, and they, when they get back to their home country,
But it's a must for the Shias.
Yeah, it is. It is obligatory. And they all of a sudden they are reminded of one duty, and that is Tawaf al-Nisa. But that's too late, you know. It's necessary to perform Tawaf al-Nisa. Tawaf al-Nisa is part, is obligatory. It is necessary to do it. And of course, the Tawaf, the procedure is the same, but it's the title, the name is different.
Okay? I see.
And when you perform Tawaf al-Nisa, then many other things will be halal and allowable for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tawaf al-Nisa, there is the prayer of Tawaf al-Nisa,
yes.
And then staying awake during the night before the 11th in Mina. Then stoning three jamras on the 11th of Zilhajjah, and then on the 14th obligatory act is to stay awake during the night before the 12th
yes.
day of Zilhajjah in Mina.
Okay.
And then lastly, stoning three jamras on the 12th of Zilhajjah. These are the obligatory acts that must be performed.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your answering these questions around Hajj according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. And we thank you very much for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن